Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, good evening, everyone. Welcome to Access All Areas. I am Stephen Lang.
And I'm Bobby Norris. How are you, babes?
I am good. I am, as you can see, in the countryside. This is not my normal background. I am away this week, which is nice.
Looks like a lovely gaff.
Yes, gorge gaff, just outside of Eastbourne. Just spending lots of time, cutting my hand on bramble bushes and, you know, going for walks and drinking and eating, really. So,
blackberry picking?
Alas, no, I just injured myself climbing over a fence. being the butch thing that I am, obviously screamed.
Love it.
How are you?
I'm really good, thank you, babes. Really good. So you're just away for a few days, are you?
Yeah. So, mosquito. It's my friend's 40th birthday. So
lovely.
We've come away to here, just for a few days. And this will be my last holiday of the year. Wow, poor me. I mean, I haven't been away enough this year. It's been a real disaster.
You deserve it, babes. You deserve it.
Don't I just. What's been going on with you anyway? Anything exciting?
Nothing much to report much. You know what? I've just been keeping my head down, working loads, still gymming. I went to see my nanny Norris, which is always lovely.
How's she doing?
Really good, thank you. Really good. And just really nice to kind of, you know, be able to... Well, I think that I've said before, that was the whole reason, really, for me that being vaccinated was so important.
Yeah.
More for other people than it was for myself. And I just think it's another step forward that people are able to go and see their nearest and dearest. And so that's just lovely. And keeping myself busy, babes. I'm in that gym.
After I get back from this and I do some rowing this weekend, I'm finally going to rejoin a gym next week, which will be the first time I've entered a gym since March 2020, I think.
Is such intense fitness in itself, though. So don't feel too bad, because that's quite full on rowing, isn't it?
It's all right. I mean, it depends on what you're doing on each different given session. But I want to get back to doing classes and stuff, which I really enjoyed. And also, this gym I'm joining has got a pool, so
nice.
I quite like to get in the pool and do a couple of lengths and kind of prepare, because I always go quite health leather in January. I kind of want to do a little bit of pre-preparing my gym self and trying to get back into the fitness bit before Christmas this year, rather than just being like completely going eating and drinking everything in sight up until Christmas and then going mad on the exercise and diet in January. Maybe I can start a bit earlier this year.
It definitely feels like Christmas is upon us now. I've seen, I think, pretty much every brand and every shop's Christmas advert in the last week.
Yeah, and the John Lewis one I do like.
Coca-Cola. What do you think that you like it?
I like it. The little alien and the UFO and the crash and the teaching her all about Christmas and the little boy and the kiss. I think it's all very sweet.
So can you see Iceland's spoof of it?
No.
They must have paid, I'm guessing, John Lewis, because they used their footage or they've obviously asked for permission. But it's their advert, but instead of it being the alien, it's a Space Raider crisp, like digitally imposed. And then at the very end, it's like Iceland. We're very sorry, in like brackets, we're very sorry to John Lewis. It's kind of like a tongue-in-cheek taking the mick out of their advert. But I think John Lewis is kind of the one advert that I'm always intrigued. Some years it gets me more ear than others, so, you know, when it tugs a little bit on the old heartstrings. I mean, some years, I'm not embarrassed to say, I've almost had tears in my eyes with some of the adverts over the years.
You're not the only one.
Did you get a little bit emotional? Is it an age thing?
I think it is. And also, to cry over an advert, it is a bit embarrassing, isn't it? But like, that's the whole idea of it, you know? It's like pulling on your heartstrings at Christmas, isn't it? So that you spend more money in John Lewis to bloody
prove
to your loved ones how much you love them.
The only one I've not seen yet, and this is always my first sign of Christmas and the one that makes me know Christmas is here, is the Coca-Cola truck.
That's true. I haven't seen that either.
I don't know.
Petitioning.
yeah, where's the Coca-Cola truck? Maybe it's maybe he's held up with all the other lorry drivers and he couldn't cross the line.
Oh my God, maybe he didn't get his HGV license back in time or whatever.
They should so do a joke. I guess it's not a funny thing. So be kind of, you've got to roll with the punches, Coca-Cola.
I tell you. And if you can't laugh, you cry. So
exactly,
you know.
That. But festive times.
Yeah, definitely. I'm definitely starting to feel the vibes. I'm sure the Oxford Street lights will be up soon, and I know Winter Wonderland's going on this year, so I'm sure people will be down there.
So yeah, that's mad. I kind of forgot all about winter. I go every year, and obviously after the last year or two, had it been, and kind of forgot all about it until someone mentioned it, and they said it was coming, and I was like, oh my gosh, it's Christmas, and I was like, well, yeah, it's Winter Wonderland. I was like, yeah, but I kind of just forgot about Winter Wonderland.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was in Selfridges last week, and I see that they've put the lights out on Oxford Street, but they've not been turned on yet.
Not lit yet. Well, I guess we'll have to wait and see what they're doing with themselves this year. But yeah, it'll be nice. I do like it. I always think I'm going to like it though more than I do when I'm on Oxford Street trying to Christmas shop on a Saturday at the beginning of December. You always realise maybe it's not as good as I thought it was.
The idea of it's always better than the reality, isn't it?
Like so many things in life.
Completely. And I think the last few years I've kind of tried to, well, especially the last year because nothing was open, but I always do online stuff. But I kind of feel like this year, because we wasn't able to last year, I kind of do want to get out and about a little bit and see what's out there. But again, that's just in my head. I've got this lovely vision of Christmas walking down Oxford Street, lovely bit of snow with a chunky knit jumper and a scarf. Not going to be like that.
Not like that at all. Stressed. The tubes have cancelled. There's too many people.
Sleet and rain blowing me down the road.
You can't find what you need. Your credit card's not working.
And there's a lot of big empty shops on Oxford Street now. Like obviously now HMV's gone and Debenhams and Topman and Topshop.
Yeah.
And they're big old units. But I'll go and have a little mooch and a little browse.
What, treat yourself, babe.
Treat myself. A few Christmas presents.
Well, we've got a slightly unusual show this week in that we've only got two guests, and one of them you've already spoken to. So you did a little pre-record with Mr. Tan Frank, didn't you, from Queer Eye?
I did. Such a lovely man. And I think we spoke for about 25 minutes. Honestly, really lovely chat. So really excited for you to have a little listen to that. And we've got the lovely Sunita as well.
See, now this is exciting. Yeah, singing 80s legend, I think you should probably say when it comes to Sunita. So macho and all the stuff that she's done in the Palm Leaves on X Factor and hanging out with Simon Cowell and that. Yeah, she's a bit of a legend. So we've got her to speak to before we play out Tan.
Well, I'm excited to see what she's wearing. Sure. I mean, I know it's only a Zoom, so I don't know if we're going to get the full palm tree effect tonight.
True.
But what will she be wearing? Oh no, you never know with Sunita. She always pulls it out of the bag.
Yeah. I mean, she's not one for just like a roll neck jumper, is she? Or but you know what? Nah. Maybe tonight's the night.
She could just be chilling.
Exactly, yeah. So we'll have to see when she gets on the call. But it's been a busy old week for Showbiz News as well, hasn't it? What's caught your eye this week?
Well, I think like a lot of people, the rumoured lineup of I'm a Celebrity this year has been there's been a few celebrities papped arriving at Wales, I think, starting their kind of lockdown before they form their bubble.
Yeah.
What do you think of some of the names we've seen? I mean, we've got quite a few soap stars in there from the big shows.
So there's Adam Woodjat, who plays Ian Beale.
Got Simon Gregson, who Steve McDonald, who's obviously on-screen mum, was in it last year. Beverly Callard.
Oh, yes, so she was. I didn't think of that. Yeah, good
I wonder
point.
If she's kind of gave him a couple of tips for the car. Because that was always the thing for last year, being the first celebs to ever do the castle and it not be Australia. I think they all kind of went into it quite... Well, it was the unknown, wasn't it? Didn't really know what to expect. And no one could probably tip them off. Whereas I think if anyone knows anyone that did it last year, and if there's going to be any like, oh... Well, I think you're certainly going to know to wrap up more in Wales than you are in Wales.
True. Yeah, you're not going to be enjoying the southern hemisphere sun, are you? No, definitely not.
Versace Hotel.
Yeah, I mean, well, there is that, but I do think there are celebrities that would be much more willing to do it in a castle in Wales than they would go to Australia. For instance, Richard Madeley, as in Richard and Judy. I feel like he'd be much more inclined to do it if it's in this country and he doesn't have to travel all that way.
It is true, actually, because you've got the jet lag side of it. Forget even the pandemic and what's going on over there and what's going on over here and just the travel restrictions.
Yeah.
I think, it's probably a lot easier. And you know what? And if you get voted off, you're just getting your Addie Lee home and you probably just come straight back from Wales.
Straight back from
It's a lot
North
quicker
Wales
than, yeah, than the two flights landing into Dubai, then getting your interconnecting flight back or whatever. We've got Frankie Bridge, obviously, former Saturday star and Loose Women.
And also, it'll be interesting because her husband, Wayne, has previously done it, hasn't he?
Yeah, this is true. He's done the jungle. So although it was a different country, he could still maybe be guiding her. I think it's probably one of them shows out of all of them. It's like, compared to like Dance on Ice, where someone's going to obviously say, look, if you get the phone call, try and get as much practice as you can. I don't think there's much you can do if you're doing celeb to prepare for it. I think I'm a Celeb is very much just you've got to go in there and just take it as it comes, because you never know what your challenge is going to be. And even more so now, because I think as well, back in the Australia days, love that we're talking like it was 10 years ago, it was literally 2 years ago.
Back in Australia.
But you kind of knew what your challenges was going to be, or you knew the eating ones or what you'd come up against. Whereas I do think obviously, we don't really have witchetty grubs over here, as far as I know. I'm no David
or kangaroo balls.
Yeah, not many kangaroos in Wales. how do you prepare for something like that? I think you've got to be very, just go into it as mentally strong as possible.
Well, I think it's interesting with Richard, especially because they're basically ITV are using it as a bit of a springboard to for him to then go on to take on part time Piers Morgan's job on Good Morning Britain. I mean, I think he's the first to admit understands he's not Piers Morgan, but he does push the people he interviews and stuff, doesn't he? And I think this might be good to open him up to kind of a new audience, because a lot of people our age know who Richard and Judy are. But if you're 10 years younger, you might be a bit like, oh, yeah, I've heard of them, but I don't really know who that. Do you know what I mean?
Very true. How do you think he'll fare doing Piers's role? I've worked with him a couple of times and always been just such a lovely man when I've covered the celeb showbiz segment when Richard Arnold hasn't been there, whatever, and Richard's been covering as well. It's always been such a lovely man, and I think he will bring something new to the table or to the desk.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think he doesn't want to be Piers Morgan, does he? I mean, it's like it's different kettle of fish. But yeah, I mean, I hope he does kind of bring his own thing to it. I quite like him. I mean, he does have a touch of the what's his name, Alan Partridge about him, but and he likes to put his foot in it and say the things he shouldn't, but I think that's probably what GMB quite like about him, the producers.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking, actually, I hadn't thought of it before, but in terms of him knowing someone, so his son-in-law did I'm a Celeb a few years ago.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. What's his name? Jack.
The rugby player.
Yeah, who's married to Chloe.
Oh, gosh.
Damn it, I've forgotten his name. But him, yeah, but it's true. Yeah. I think you probably
is it Hens Skull? Hens... See, I'm not very good at the role. James Haskell.
Oh, you got it, babes. Well done.
That was it. I know. I just had to think back to the last match that I watched, and that was it. Did I even call it a match when it's rugby? Or is it a game? I think it's a game.
You're asking the wrong person, babe. I've got a fucking clue.
Wrong crowd for us. But a lot of the people have got some kind of connection or a family relative that's done it. So that's quite interesting. And footballer, David Ginola.
One for the ladies there, I feel. Like a popular one for the a certain kind of lady viewer.
And for me as well, to be honest, Stephen.
Oh, you were a David Jones fan?
Yeah, especially back in the day, I was too. I love like the grey. I love a bit of a silver fox.
Do you? Okay, fair enough.
And footballers tend to, and I think sports people do fare quite well in the jungle. And I think you have that, well, it's not the jungle, the castle, should I say, because it's that you've got to have that competitive kind of mind, not against each other as such, because you're a team, but I think in terms of getting through it.
Yeah. Fair point. There is one bit of showbiz news, I think, this week that we probably are a bit more on board with, and that might be Ariana Grande starring in the Wicked film with Cynthia Erivo. I think it sounds like a pretty good casting, if you ask me. What do you think?
Love a little bit of Arrow,
mm-hmm.
but going to put it out there, and I'm going to make you fall off your chair now. I've never seen Wicked.
Bobby, what?
How is that even possible? It's like the prequel, isn't it, to Wizard of Oz? I've seen Wizard of Oz.
Yes, so it's the story of the witches, like why the witches became the way they did.
This is before Dorothy's born, is it?
Yes.
Yeah. See, I've not seen it. I think I need to go and see the show. And the amount of times I pass that fix, it's by Victoria Station,
yeah,
isn't it?
It is, yeah.
I've got to go see it before I see Ariana, but I think it is, like you say, very well cast. I mean, I don't know. What's she called? Glinda. I don't know what kind of character Glinda is, but I'm sure Ari's going to rock it with her lovely ponytail. And
excited to like see her on the big screen, taking on like a massive role. I think it's going to be a really big deal when it finally makes well. But obviously, it's only just been announced, so it's not. We've got a little while yet before we see even anything on the screens. Well, I tell you what, you must know a bit more about, or maybe you are a bit more excited about them. What about this Adele ITV show?
Well, I was going to say, you asked what I was up to this week. What I wasn't up to was going to the Palladium and watching Adele. Unfortunately, I think my ticket got lost.
Oh, sorry to hear that, Bob.
I'm devoed about it. I love Adele. I was one of the people that I'd got tickets, and I don't know if it was her very last show she didn't do, if there was a couple, but I was like going to the last night of a show when someone performs, the kind of thing. It's that they know it's their finale, it's the last show.
Yeah.
I think you get a little bit more from it. Yeah. So I'd consciously got the very last show she was doing, and then she wasn't well, was she? Do you remember? And she had to cancel. So this was a couple of years ago.
Her voice or something.
Her voice had gone, I think, her throat or something had happened. And I mean, let's have it right. Adele, even with a sore throat, is going to still sound amazing, I'm sure.
Fair.
With a couple of Lem Zips inside her, she'd smash it. Yeah. But she cancelled, and I was gutted about it. And I love her. I love her, and I would have loved to have been there. And I can't wait to watch it. I think it's later this month on ITV, isn't it? An audience with.
Yeah. You don't often get those audience withs anymore either. I think they're quite a special thing. And I mean, the lineup of guests that I've seen, Emma Thompson and Naomi Campbell and that, and Alan Carr, obviously her Bezzy mate, and Nick Grimshaw and that. I mean, I think I hope it's like one of the old classic ITV's audience widths, do you know what I mean? And to get to see like a proper side to her. And you know, she's like, I'm not the biggest fan, but she is a funny character. And I think I'd quite like to, I'll be watching. Although it's actually on my birthday, so maybe I won't be watching, but I might watch on catch up.
Watch it on the hub.
Yeah.
But I think you're so right. Them kind of shows remind me very much of growing up. They seem to be a lot more frequent then. I remember there always being an audience with, do you know?
Yeah,
what I mean?
I remember watching one with Diana Ross and like just all those like old greats. Like there was always like some kind of like big audience with, and it would always have like the cast of Coronation Street in the audience and stuff.
Yeah. But what I love about Adele is, well, not only is she probably one of the most amazing singers in the world, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Her personality,
she's funny.
She's funny. So I could quite happily go and see her at the O2 or any arena, and she wouldn't even have to pick up her mic and sing. I would just watch her talk because I just find her funny. I find her, even though she's got all the success and she's the huge superstar, I think she still seems still like the girl next door. Do you know what I mean? Just still
very down to earth.
Someone that you would go to Nando's with and chew the cud and share a Perrinese.
I'm sure she'd enjoy that. Well, how about we chew the cud now and share the Perrinese with Sunita?
With Sunita. Let's do it.
She's here.
I wonder if she's a Lemon and Herb girl like me.
Hi.
Hello, Sunita. Are you all right, babe?
I'm all right. How are you?
Good, thank you. We can hear you, but we can't see you.
Oh, okay. Hang on. Hey.
How's it going?
It's good. I'm just putting on my makeup for the show.
Gotta say, you're looking beautiful.
Thank you, darling. So are you.
Oh, bless you. Thank you.
how is it all going? Tell us what you're up to.
So I am doing Chicago on tour, and can I tell you what? We're in hold this week, mm-hmm. and we got a standing ovation last night. Like the audience reaction has just been incredible. It's an emotional experience because I think people have missed live performances so much, and we have this amazing, huge jazz band on stage with us as well, and just the connection, you know, just hearing people laughing out loud, big belly laughs, and you know, couples looking at each other, nudging each other, like if you get the jokes, and it's as much as they're watching us, we're watching them enjoying it. So it's been amazing.
And how are you and the cast happy? I'm guessing to be performing again and being able to go ahead with it and tour with the show.
Yes, so much, because we were postponed twice. So, I mean, I don't know if you know, but it's the first time I've been on a theatrical stage in like more than 25 years.
Oh,
so
wow.
I was so nervous anyway and thinking, you know, can I still do this and what's going to be like? And then each time it was postponed, it was a mixture of relief and horror, just thinking, oh gosh, I just geared myself up and now, but then think, okay, thank God, okay, I've got more time. But once we finally got out there and started doing it, it's the best feeling in the world. I mean, when you're an entertainer, you love being on stage. It's an indescribable feeling, yeah.
Who are you playing?
I'm playing Mama Morton.
So she is a very fab character in Chicago, and you can kind of, everyone can kind of bring their own thing to her a bit, can't they? Like, it's not like a really set kind of determined thing. So what are you bringing to Mama Morton?
Well, I'm kind of trying to be sort of Fosse-esque, slightly. She's, you know, she's a bit of a fiend, but she's a lovable fiend. But originally, I did think of Mama Morton as a big sort of buxom, strong black woman. And I was thinking, how do I fit that, you know, when I'm sort of petite, like really tiny? But it's about attitude. Mm. It's about, you know, like a small dog, you know how you get those Yorkies
and they'll
I've got a Yorkie. You couldn't be more right, Sinead. And my dog thinks she's a Doberman. She's about the size of my foot but thinks she's a Doberman.
Exactly. Runs the place, and that's what I get to be. I'm the tiniest person on stage, but I get to run the place, so it's a lot of fun. And I never get these kind of roles. I've never been cast as the boss or the villain before, so it's really juicy. It's great fun.
And is this something you'd like to continue doing now? Like, say, you haven't been on a stage in that sense for 25 years. Have you now got the bug for it?
Oh, my gosh. They have recreated a monster. Yeah, I'm not leaving. I was supposed to leave after 3 months, and I'm still here. I've, like, you know, signed up for another. So, yeah, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult for the next mamas because, let's just put it this way, if you hear of anyone sort of tripped accidentally falling downstairs or going missing, oops.
I love that. You got friends in powerful places, Nia.
Exactly.
Tell us about your Christmas single you're bringing out, Sunita.
Oh gosh, so I've recorded a track. It's called I Won't Be Lonely This Christmas, and it's basically, you know, again, locked at Christmas last year and the Christmas before were disasters because everyone made plans. You know, we were separated from our families and our loved ones and our friends, and we couldn't go out. This Christmas is going to be different because whether we're traveling abroad or not, families are going to be together and we're going to be celebrating and enjoying and appreciating each other's. And that's really what the song's about. It's called I Won't Be Lonely This Christmas, and it's catchy. It's got that sort of Motown sort of bopsy feel to it, and hopefully it's going to bring in the Christmas spirit.
Are we open for a Christmas number one?
I mean, that would be amazing. That would be amazing. But, you know, again, just to be making new music again is so exciting for me. I haven't, you know, it's just all, it's like my whole life is restarting again. You know, I'm dating, I'm on stage, I have a new single. Yes, did you see me slip that in? I can't mention any names because it's very early days, and, you know, I don't want to embarrass myself. You know, tomorrow he phones me and says, I don't want to see you again. But, so far, so good.
Is this someone we might know?
Actually, in a kind of way, yes, but not in a really obvious way. It's not someone everyone would know.
Okay.
And how many days is it?
It's like 6 weeks. Like, oh, nice. Shouldn't even really be mentioning it, should I? You know, we've got to see if it's going to go full term first, right?
But are you getting kind of them butterflies? You know, in the early days, I love them days where you go on your first few dates, you get the butterflies, you're excited when you get a text.
I mean, everything. And you know what? You get excited when you don't get a text. But worse than that, the bit I don't like, is you get upset when you don't get one.
Yes, and you just sit there looking at your phone.
And I'm thinking, I feel like a teenager, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, when I was a teenager, we didn't even have mobile phones. There were no texts. You either saw each other, you did. But now I wake up, and if there's not a text, I'm like, oh, you know.
How did you meet?
A dating agency. Not a dating site. Although I did join a dating site for a little bit, but it didn't really sort of work out for me. So then this is like being done by professional matchmakers.
Okay.
Well, you might have to give me their details that hook me up, Sunita.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, I'll be able to hook you up. Let's sort me out first and then we'll move on to you, darling.
Absolutely, babes. Absolutely. So where did he take you on your first date?
We went to a little cafe. I can't even say anything in case he kills me. He might be like, you know, yeah, I can't even say anything. But I'll tell you something else. Something else that's interesting. I did a show with the BBC called Womanhood.
Mm. Yeah.
Womanhood. And it comes out on BBC Two at 9 p.m. I think on the 26th, if the 26th is a Friday. Mm-hmm. And it's a really crazy group of women. It's like Kirsty Walk. Do you know Kirsty Walk from Newsnight?
Yeah.
Her, Jacqueline Gold, you know, the lady who created Anne Summers and Pleasure for Women. Susie Raphael, the comedian. There's like, oh, it's like this diverse group of women. We all live in this house together and we go through stuff. I can't say what we go through, but it's going to be on the Friday the 26th at 9 p.m. So can you imagine? I'm going to be on TV in a TV show. I'm in the theatre and I've got a single out and I nearly have a boyfriend. It's kind of my year, isn't it?
It's your year, girl.
You'll live as a dream.
So now I've got to ask you, babes, what do you think of the news of Simon Cowell kind of stepping back from his role for his new show of being a judge?
Do you know what? I think it's about time. I mean, if you think about it, Simon's like just turning like, what, 61, 62? He has been working on a crazy schedule since he turned 40. Because if you think American Idol, he was just entering his 40s, right? Yeah, so he's been on that high power drive ride for nearly 20 years. Yeah. He's got this gorgeous little boy, his gorgeous partner. You know, he's fabulously wealthy. He's fabulously successful. I mean, if he's not going to kick back and enjoy it now, when do you do it? Do you wait until you're so old that actually you have no choice but to kick back? I think the best of times is now for him. Yeah. So I'm very happy.
Are you going to be involved in the show?
I'm not going to be involved in this series because I'm still going to be doing this until February. So the shorter answer to that is no, but you know, I still think it's going to be great. I think Gary Bucardo is going to be amazing. He did great when he stepped into his shoes for X Factor a few years ago. I'm so excited about Craig David though and Mabel.
It's amazing, isn't it? That I can't wait to see it. I think we're all ready for a new show as well, you know.
Yeah, exactly. We need something. And then we just need Ryland to pop up somewhere. I miss Ryland. Don't you miss Ryland?
Yeah.
You see him everywhere these days, Sunita. It's hard to miss him. He's all over radio too.
Is he back? Oh, sorry. Well, maybe because I'm away. So I've left before he came back. And I'm thinking, where's Ryland? Yeah. But I think this new show is going to be really, really interesting. And maybe it'll be interesting, the fact that he's not on it, because we'll still be able to feel him on it. And then let's see how long it takes him to just kick Gary off and take the show back. Did I say that out loud?
We're all friends here, babes. We're all friends here. Do you think this is Simon retiring from TV for good now, Sunita?
No. I mean, I hope not. But I do think that it's that thing. It's like being in a relationship. Like, Simon doesn't need to be on TV, does he? And it's like, when you, if it's not going to be something that he really, really wants to do and that he thinks he can be amazing, bring his best to, then I think he shouldn't do it. And, you know, it's fun to be behind the scenes, you know, to own the show and be able to sort of say what happened, but not to have to have the pressure of being the person on camera as well. Because, I mean, for years he's been doing like three jobs, you know, four jobs, because he's such a control freak. He would also be editing the shows. I don't know if people knew that. He'd be editing the shows as well. So, you know, that's not his job, really. But, you know, he's so hands-on with everything that he was making everything his job.
So, like you say, especially after 20 years of being on camera and being on so many shows and jetting from the States back to the UK, that takes its toll as well, doesn't it?
Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine? I mean, you know, how much do we all hate to have to do those long-haul flights? I mean, we like getting there. And unless you're going to get on the plane and treat it as the holiday starts now and have some drinks and, you know, party on the train. But you can't do that when you've got to get off the plane and go straight to a TV studio. So it literally is just relentless traveling, having to be on your A game early. You know, it's not a lot of fun. I mean, even like being on tour, it's there's a lot of responsibility. You don't just get to rock up and do the show. You've got to take care of your voice. You've got to have early nights. Everyone else is having fun and you can't. And he's had to be that disciplined, you know, for 20 years when he was already a grown successful man, because he was already a successful record executive. And you should be living the times of your life, not having to sort of stick to rigid timetables. But I mean, you know, it's done well for him. But I think, yeah, enjoy his life also while Eric is still little, because the next thing you know, he's got a teenager who's off with his own friends.
And then you never see them.
Yeah, and if he's missed all his childhood, I think he'd really regret that.
Yeah. True.
Well, Sunita, thank you so much for speaking to us this evening. I know you need to rush off.
Yeah.
So just getting ready. Best of luck with the show and everything you've got coming up. It sounds really exciting times for you.
Thank you so much.
DM me your matchmaker's date hours as well, babes. And good
luck to
the new man.
Bye, darling. Bye.
Thank you, Sunita. Bye.
You too. Bye.
Love it.
Well, looks like you've got yourself a date set up for 2021, at least, with the help of Sunita and her dating agency.
2022, babes.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. and I'm an even number kind of boy. I've got, not just because we're thinking that there's a potential date with Sunita's matchmaker here, but I've got a really good feeling about 2022. I think it's my year.
I think you might be right. And I actually think it's going to be a lot of people's years after the piece of shit last 2 years we've had anyway. So, right. Well, why don't we listen to your interview with Tan now and come back at the end.
Let's have a little listen.
Hello.
Hello, Tan. You're right.
I am well, thank you. How are you?
Really good, thank you. Really good. Thank you so much for joining me this evening.
No problem at all. How are you? How's your day going?
Really good, thank you. Really good. Brilliant. Even better for speaking with you. I've been looking forward to it. And can Brilliant. I love that we've both got our big statement grey head balls behind us. Not gay at all.
No, I know.
Oh, Tans, so talk to me. I'm so interested in this project you're a part of. Tell me all about it.
So I was asked by Lenovo a couple of months ago to join their Kind Council. And I get a lot of request to partner a fair amount, and I say no to around about 95%. It's only if they really hook me with something that sounds interesting. And so they asked if I would be the head of Hope, which sounded interesting. I was like, okay, let's hear more about it. They are trying to create a kind of future, a kind of city of the future. They are encouraging people to get involved and to partake and tell them what they think the founding principles of a kind future would look like, and then to really put that out there to governments across the world to try and create kinder cities across the globe. This isn't just US, it's not just UK, it's across the world. So if you go to kindcity.com, you can actually become a citizen by simply answering the very simple question, the kind city of the future is. Super simple.
Love it. And how can we all make our cities kinder?
I mean, this is one of the things that I would like other people to suggest. But what I'm going to suggest is this. So go and add your submissions. Anyone watching, go and add your submissions as to what you think a kind city would look like. For me, it is equity and equality, treating people kindly regardless of their sexual orientation, their gender, their race. None of those factors should matter. We should be kind to everybody. So that's my thing that I'm throwing in the ring. And let's see what everybody else has to say.
I love that. And it's so close to my heart. And I think now more than ever, being kind, like what we've all been through as a world, like the last 18 months, I just think that, and it's so sad that there still is the toxic people and the not so kind people, shall we say. And I just think it makes people feel so much better just to smile at something and to be kind. And for me, I'm a massive advocate for, especially on social media, when we get people that sit behind their computers and they want to troll people. And I'm like, gosh, isn't life hard enough for everyone, especially now, rather than kind of trying to take people down and make them feel bad about themselves.
And here's the thing, what I say is we all think those negative things. It doesn't mean you have to say everything that you think. Yeah, you might not like those shoes I'm wearing. Yeah, you might not like the way my hair is. Yeah, you may not like that thing that I'm doing. You know, it's really easy to not comment. It's really easy to be kind. Really easy.
It's so true. And look, I think we all have opinions. I'm very, and that's absolutely fine. But for me, I think when it crosses a line, and especially some of the things you see on social media now, like it's not even an opinion. It's like, oh my, it almost worries me that it's even someone's thought process, let alone the fact they then pick up their phone. And I think, actually, I'm going to DM you or comment on your picture and let you know what's going in my head. It's just so strange how some people...
And I always think, how would you feel if somebody said that to you? Would you not be hurt by that? We're all still people too.
Definitely. And I see that you suffered from the hands of a troll about your little boy being accused of... What did they say, that you had stole your boy?
Yeah. So actually, trolling is... daily in my world, I expect every day that somebody will say something disgusting, and it's usually a few people that will say something disgusting. However, it's not very often that I check my DMs, so I haven't looked at my DMs in 3-ish years. My assistants do that, and that's wonderful, and they make sure that I'm not missing anything that I don't want to miss. However, I was on a flight and I was bored. I was like, oh, go on, I'll see what's going on. And the first thing I saw, and it was a reminder of why I don't look at my DMs, was somebody saying that basically this can't be my child. I must have stolen my child from somebody else, because neither my husband nor I are women. And so, so those kind of comments I get often. However, that one, although it was mean, it made me laugh. So I posted about it thinking, gosh, there really are some morons out there. And so it was more how stupid it was, as opposed to me being wildly offended. I just thought, you clearly don't understand what surrogacy is. You don't understand the laws in the US, which is where I live, and where surrogacy is perfectly well regulated. It's perfectly legal. And so, so that kind of comment, thankfully at this point, I can usually laugh off most comments. However, if I didn't have such a thick skin, it could have really done some damage.
Absolutely. And the worrying thing is that you could walk around a supermarket and that there's a percentage of people that even have that thought process or then views, you know, and you think, gosh, it's 2021. Like, how are we still in this place? Like, to me, it's so strange. So do you as a whole, like you said, because you don't really look at your DMs, do you not really see much trolling?
I don't. I mean, every now and then, so I check the press to see if they're being nice. And when I'm doing something that I'm launching something soon, and when I look at those things in the press, I will every now and then look at the comments to see how they responded. And that's the only time I see horrible comments, trolls. But I think here's the thing. If I were in my 20s, and if I was single, and if I was desperate to live this famous life, I think I would view it very differently. I'm 38. I'm married. I've been married for 40. Well, no, I've been with my husband 14 years. We've been married for 12 years. I've got a child. The thoughts that people have about me, I really couldn't care less. Yes, sometimes it's a bit painful, but I just think, gosh, what a sad little life you might lead that you might think that it's important to leave that comment. So really, I feel pity for them. I don't feel hurt for myself.
Do you ever want to teach the trolls about kindness?
I mean, I don't necessarily want to target them exactly. I want, and what I do for a living is I teach people to understand the humanity in everyone. I'm on a show called Queer Eye. Our main goal is to show that we can all get along if we just get to know the person, ask questions, be considerate, be kind. And so I'm not necessarily trying to teach the trolls. I'm just trying to teach the average person kindness really is a choice.
And do you think even more so now you're a father that it would be nice to kind of try and make the world a kinder place? So I guess things change when you have a baby.
Yeah. So there's so much that I want for my child. First and foremost, I want my child to not experience a lot of the things that I experienced as a child. I was raised in a small town in South Yorkshire. There weren't a lot of Asian people. And so racism was a constant in my life. And so I would love to get to the point where I've at least educated the world on who Pakistani people are, who immigrants are, who Muslims are. And so in 20 so years, when my child is in his 20s, he can say, okay, people aren't shocked by who I am. There's no reason to be. My dad did the work. He put in the work. He was willing to put up with the crap that he got from everyone. Constant abuse, whether it be racist or homophobic or whatever else, he was willing to put up with it so I could live a better life. That's my goal for my child.
And like you say, Queer Eye, I think, completely shows kindness, trying to help people. I just think as a show, it's so hard nowadays to get such a lovely show. Do you know what I mean? Because so often you see TV shows and, like, you might see reality shows, people tearing each other down, or it's just a really lovely show, which again, is just spreading a positive and a kindness show. Is it something you love being a part of?
Yeah, so the funny thing is, you mentioned reality. We don't call ourselves a reality show. In the US, we call us just an unscripted show, because a lot of the reality shows, they really are so heavily produced, and people are just encouraged to fight, because that was in vogue up until a few years ago. That's what got bums on seats at home. What's this girl going to do to that girl? What's this guy going to do to that girl? Horrible. I've never been a fan of reality TV. I'm not interested in it at all. I don't love negativity. And so being on a show like Queer Eye is beautiful. We were one of the very first shows that showed you can have positive programming that is wildly popular. This is Queer Eye is a mega show, a global phenomenon show, and yet we're never nasty to anyone, ever. We will say, you definitely don't need those pants in your life, let me make you feel better, like those kind of things, but we're never mean to them. And I think that's why the show is beautiful, and that's why I love being on the show. I just get to be there with my idiot castmates and have a laugh and just be nice. It's such an easy show. I don't know how people are on those reality shows where they have to be nasty to each other. It blows my mind.
And how lovely for people going through the pandemic, and where a lot of people was in lockdowns and not able to go to work and leave the house, to be able to binge Queer Eye and kind of just have something positive to watch when the world seems such a dark place, I think helped so many people.
Yeah, I would like to believe so. I did another show on Netflix called Next in Fashion. It's a competition show. And so many people were shocked with how positive it was. They were like, you were never, ever nasty to people. And the contestants were never nasty to each other. Those things are conscious choices. They are conscious decisions we've made. And they're the kind of shows I love doing. And so those kind of shows, I think, watch them during quarantine. Watch them during your downtime. They're going to make you feel better.
Tan, I wanted to ask you about this documentary you're doing with BBC.
Yeah.
Can you tell me about it? Because it sounds fascinating.
Thanks. Yeah. So it's a documentary that is called Beauty and the Bleach. It's about colorism. It will hopefully come out very early next year. I shot the London or the UK component, a couple of weeks ago. And then I shoot an American and Asian component within the next few weeks. And it is a documentary about something that a lot of people don't know about, especially within the white community, there really isn't such a thing of, as colorism, or nowhere near as prevalent as it is in communities of color. So it's people treated differently within a community of color based on the shade of their skin. The darker they are, the less successful they're seen as being or potentially could be. And it affects marriage, it affects jobs, it affects status. And this is a global thing. And we're talking about skin bleaching in this documentary a lot, where people go to extreme lengths to lighten up to try and be the most successful version of themselves. You know, it's interesting, we see the opposite version in the West, where white folks want to get on a sunbed, they want a gorgeous tan. However, in the brown community and black community, they so often want the reverse, because they know what that means to them. It means more than likely more success.
And when you speak to people, is that their reason for bleaching their skin and stuff? Is it because you're seen as a more successful person or
more
for job opportunities?
Yeah, a more desirable person and a more successful person. Almost every story, the reasoning comes down to, I want to be seen as more desirable, therefore I will be more successful. And throughout this documentary, we're exploring, is that a myth? Is it true that they will be more successful if they're lighter skinned? And I think that the audience is going to be interested to see what we come up with. I think it's beautiful, this documentary. It's fascinating.
And I think it's amazing that you're shining a light on this, because I never realised there was that many people doing it and feeling that way. But I wanted to ask, Ken, because I'm really intrigued. I know you're doing a UK component and one in the States. Is it very similar, even though we're the other side of the world?
Yes.
Are people saying exactly the same thing, whether they're from the States or the UK?
So even though I was filming in the UK, I did a lot of Zoom, obviously with the way the world is right now, it's a little harder to travel. So I did a lot of Zoom calls with people all over the world. And it's the same situation all over the world. However, what the main difference is, in the West, people are doing it it's basically done under the table. It's done secretively. People will bleach their skin in secret and they won't really tell people because they know that they'll be judged for it. Whereas in the East, in places like South Asia, Far East Asia, Africa, and even South America, people are bleaching their skin very openly. In the West, we will have campaigns, billboards, adverts, whatever, about anti-aging. In the East or in other countries of color, they couldn't care less about that. It's all whiten up, whiten up, whiten up.
And what do you think, Tan, when it's the other way around and it's white people trying to make their skin darker?
I mean, to a certain extent, I just think, well, if it brings you joy, it makes you feel more comfortable, so be it. Do I think that we need to change our skin colour to be seen as desirable or to feel beautiful? No. And there's one thing, one of the reasons I love this project that I'm doing with the Kind Council, I love that we're just saying, be kind to everyone, including yourself. You get to be considered beautiful at any shade you naturally are. Why do you have to be darker or lighter in order to be seen as beautiful, in order to have people treat you more kindly?
And does it matter if it's not permanent? Again, thinking about it now, like I say, even if someone was to have a spray tan, does that kind of fall into that category?
It does. It's a version of colorism, for sure it is. Colorism isn't just for people of color. It also does apply to white people. However, the implications are very different. With people of color, it affects their entire life, and it also plays into racism. With the white community, the ramifications are different. It is mostly for their physical appearance, not necessarily will they get a better job, will they be more successful, will they marry, will they have children that they're concerned about with their skin tone. None of that. The implications are usually superficial.
And Ted, how are you kind to yourself? Like, what do you do to make yourself feel happy?
I've become really good at saying no to almost everything that comes my way. I make it very clear I don't have the bandwidth for that anymore. I want to stay at home, I want to see my child, and that is how I'm kind to myself. And I also do practice self-care, which I know is such a buzzy term, but on Queer Eye, we really did push for that 3.5 years ago, and it really became a thing. To be kind to yourself, just take a moment out. I watch TV, I'll watch a movie, I'll cook, I'll bake. Those are the things that make me feel happy, so that's how I'm kind to myself.
And what are your go-tos? So during quarantine, if you was watching a little bit of Netflix, what's on the watch list?
Okay, I'm going to say something that is controversial. I love Netflix so much. However, I was watching a little bit more HBO Max, and I don't know if you get that. Do you get HBO Max in the UK? No, right?
I don't think so. Okay. No, I've heard about it.
Okay, so HBO Max is a great streamer also. They used to be a network, or they are still a network, sorry. And they had a show called The Undoing, which I loved so much. If you haven't seen it, it's wicked. It's Nicole Kidman and Hugh... Oh, my gosh. Hugh Grant, fantastic. And then Mare of Easttown and White Lotus, most recently. Love so much. They were all on HBO Max. I also love Squid Game. Loved Squid Game so much.
I think they aired on Sky, actually, in the UK. Talking of Squid Games, I've not even got down that rabbit hole yet. Literally, I was on Instagram stories, and I was just like, right, what can I watch? I'm at that stage where I think a lot of people, I feel like I've completed Netflix. Yeah. And I was like, what do I watch? And everyone was like, Squid Games.
I put it off for like a month. I was shooting, so I didn't have time to watch anything. And then everyone I knew in my life was like, I know it seems so hyped up. It became at that point the biggest show in Netflix history. And they were like, it's not just a number. Like, watch it. Believe me, there's a reason why it's so good. And so my whole flight home from the UK to the US, it was a 13-hour flight. I got through the whole season. I only planned on watching two episodes and then I was going to sleep. But I was hot. It was so, so, so good. So good. But truly, watch it if you can. I'm not just saying it because I work for Netflix. Watch it if you can. But also, in my opinion, if you don't enjoy Mare of Easttown, something is wrong with you, Bobby. It is so good. It is so good.
I've got to start it tonight. Mare of Easttown.
It's at her best.
We love it. I feel like it's going to be a bit of me. And the fact that you've recommended it, I feel like it's going to be a good one.
I need to preface it by saying this. The first episode, you're going to think, what was Tan talking about? This is a snooze fest. But they're just setting the groundwork for you. They're laying the foundation. Then by episode two, you're hooked.
So you just got to bear with it, one, and it's going to get better.
Yes.
Tan, yes. I wanted to ask, how is dad life? Like, now you're a father.
Gorgeous. I mean, exhausting. I'm not sleeping anywhere near as much as I want to sleep. I used to live on 9 hours sleep minimum. Like, I needed 9 solid hours, and I would always take a nap in the daytime for about half an hour, 45 minutes, even on set. I'd be like, okay, is there a break for an hour? Yep, then I'm going to sleep 45 minutes. Come get me when we're ready to shoot. Whereas now, my whole life revolves around my child. It's beautiful. I love him so much. He's 3.5 months old. And now the most exciting thing in my life isn't the Emmys. It's not this glam party here. It's, is he going to poop? Yay, he pooped. That's it. That's my day.
And I bet, I know it sounds probably a cliche, and I've not got children yet, but I bet you see the world different. And I guess that's why this whole project is so important to you, even more than it probably would have been a year ago, because I guess we all want the world to be a little bit kinder, but even more so
when you've got a child. To be fair, this is probably an unwise thing to say, I don't know if I would have joined the Kind Council for Lenovo last year, because I would have said, no, I'm busy. I've got this going on, that going on. I would have loved the idea, and it so plays into what I do on Queer Eye. However, you're right. Being a parent dictates the way I see the world now and how differently I see the world. And I've become a lot more emotional and a lot more concerned about the future, not my future, the future of the world. And so, things that I do now are definitely for him as opposed to myself. I was a lot more selfish a year ago. That's for sure.
When it comes to Queer Eye, are you currently filming a new series?
We wrapped on Queer Eye very end of June. It's coming. Here's the thing. I recently found out they don't tell us when it's coming out. They usually will tell us about a month before because we're not good at keeping secrets. However, they had to tell us recently because something's going. We're doing some press for it soon, early. But I'm not allowed to say when it's coming out. It's coming out soon, though. Really soon. And in my opinion, I'm not just saying it because it's the new season. I swear to God, believe me, there has been seasons that I just think they're okay. They're not my favorite. This season is without a doubt the best American season. The Japanese season is the best we've ever done. The best we've ever done. But this American season, it's in Texas, is coming out very soon. That one's wicked, wicked.
Oh, I'm so excited for it. I wanted to ask, what's it like off camera? Do you all get on? Are you like really close as friends?
Yeah. So here's the thing. It's a question we get asked the most. I get asked that question at least 5 times a day. because I think that people find it hard to believe that 5 randoms, like we were complete strangers, could get along so well. And especially because of what the show has achieved, you just expect that everyone's going to go their separate way and it's done. However, I do not think that you can get a cast of 5 people or complete strangers to behave like this for so long. We are not actors. Anthony is an actor, but other than that, we are not actors. We don't know how. Some of them are doing acting jobs and that's wonderful, but we are not trained actors. It's not sustainable to have it last as many years as it has if it's not good. And we are all in a position where, thankfully, we all have other work, and in America, pays a little different in America. It's not the same in the UK. Just is what it is. We could all bow out of this gracefully and be like, we don't get along, let's not do it. We all still love it. And we've done 7 seasons now. It's a long time to work with people you don't get along with. So, Absolutely. Yes, we love each other very much. I have definitely certain relationships with certain cast members that are a little bit different, and I'm a little closer, because we do certain things that are very similar. I love them all so much, but Auntie and I don't drink alcohol and we don't really go to bars and clubs. And I'm always in New York and he lives in New York. So me and him see each other the most. We're the most similar of the group. The others are a little wilder.
And what are your plans for the rest of the year, Tan?
I go to LA. So I live between Salt Lake and LA. And so I'm going to my LA home in a few days. I'm going to be there for a couple of weeks for a load of work to shoot the rest of the documentary. I'm coming to the UK at the end of November for the British Fashion Awards, which I'm so excited about. And then I'm taking December to spend time with my family, which I'm really excited about.
Oh, amazing. Oh, thank you so much for taking the time to speak to me, Tan. I know you're a busy man.
It's okay. It was lovely talking to you. Thank you so much for being so lovely and so kind. I'm not just saying that because of the campaign. You were very, very kind and I so appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And where can people go to suggest? What's the website for it?
Yes, kindcity.com. Please, even if you don't believe that it's possible, just dream that it's possible. Just add your suggestion as to what you think a kind city could look like. It could even be just a word. We really want to see if we can make this happen. A kind city of the future.
Amen, babes, amen. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Well, you take care, won't you?
Thank you so much. I will. Stay safe. Bye, sweetheart.
You too. Love to the family. Bye, Tan.
Thank you. Bye.
Such a lovely man.
Such a nice man. And sounds like he was keen to chat. Happy to chat.
Literally, I could have sat there all night talking to him. Bless him. Really, really nice chat. Really nice guy.
And the same headboard thing. I'm obsessed.
I know. I mean, I've got the Diamantes in mine. I don't think he had the Diamantes, but we've both gone for the quilted grey headboard.
Giant headboard.
It's a sign. Yeah, it's a statement, headboard. And like you heard, I think I got it in within about the first 30 seconds.
Well, you've got to make connections with guests, Bob. This is what we do, you know?
Yeah,
this is
what we're similarities and all that. And everyone's seen this headboard. Now, the amount of people that have virtually been in bedroom is unbelievable. I mean, who would have thought I was in bed with Tanita? I've been in bed with Sunita and Tan France in the same night. I mean, it ain't something you can say every evening, do you know what
certainly
I mean? On a cold November night.
Many people want to, but they'll never get to say it. You do.
Me and Sunita, what a lovely chat she was. I love that whole show, babes.
Yeah, been a good show. You got anything exciting coming up this week? And if you just say, Bob, you're going to go to the gym, I'm going to be very disappointed with you.
No, because I'm not that boy. I can't allow myself to be that boy. Because we all know them boys.
Yeah.
So I'm filming my finale episode of...
The TOWIE show.
Our really official after party. Awesome. So, yeah, that's... I filmed my finale this week. Working at the weekend, just keeping busy, doing as much as I can before Christmas comes. What about you, babe? I mean, obviously, you're in Seven Sisters for the next couple of days.
Yes. I'm in the countryside and on the beach for the next couple of days. Back this weekend. And then... back to it, I guess.
I don't know. Maybe by next week when we record, we might have seen the Coca-Cola advert.
Well, we'll have to keep an eye out. Like you said, in case there's HGV driver shortages.
Well, thank you so much.
Fabulous show. Thanks for listening. And until next week, goodbye.
Bye, guys.